pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah, welcome in on a Thursday afternoon. Great to have all of you with us. We appreciate Braden sitting in yesterday while we were in Birmingham interviewing a number of SEC head coaches and two pretty well-known former head coaches in the SEC, plus a few other people. We'll share that with you tomorrow. Today we'll talk to a number of people throughout the afternoon, updating you on what has been happening. Plus, of course, your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. We begin with Griff. We haven't talked to Mike Griffith in a while from Dog Nation. Griff, what's going on?
Quite a bit, Paul. Obviously, we got some SEC baseball heating up here in the races, the softball tournament underway, and as you said, a lot of those college football coaches working in a little golf and talk there in Birmingham.
Yeah, certainly in talking to a number of coaches, it all sounded fairly similar. The only coach, interestingly, Griff, not to give away everything, that seemed intent on playing the football season was Kirby Smart. The rest of them wanted to complain about NIL.
Well, you know, we've talked about Kirby and his model for efficiency, and if Kirby can't fix it, he's not going to waste much time or effort on it. And, you know, if you take a look at the challenges that college football faces, I think one of the reasons why Georgia's done well is that Kirby has probably managed that as well as anyone. And, you know, obviously taking a lot that he learned from Nick Saban when he formed this program in 2016, and then over these last 8 or 9 years, Georgia's adapted really well to managing the roster and managing some of these rule changes. So I'm not going to say Kirby's in the driver's seat, but I think he feels confident in the direction his program's going and how he's managing these things.
It was also interesting to hear him move past last year, which everyone knows what happened and what didn't happen. And you're there. We're just visitors sometimes from afar. But he talked about detecting hunger and an appetite to get back to where they had been. And I'm curious, just your thoughts on that overall.
Yeah, you know, Kirby distances himself from every season, whether they win the championship or they don't. But, you know, that was one of the concerns, is can this program stay hungry? And, you know, it really sounds cliche, Paul, but the reality of it is it does come down to hard work and determination and having catalysts on your team, having guys that spark the other guys to work that little bit extra. And, you know, Carson Beck is on the spot, right? Carson Beck is a projected number one draft pick. I see he's a co-Heisman Trophy favorite. But Carson Beck's got to prove he can beat Alabama. He's got to prove that he can outplay Jalen Milroe. That's something he did not do in the SEC championship game last year.
Mike, interested in your thoughts, and we're gonna talk to the person who did the interview a little bit later. What I'm referring to is the interview with Brian Kelly, where he said something that has kind of bounced around through college football in a very dramatic way when asked about what has been going on and maybe why they haven't fared as well. And he did say, we are not in the market of buying players. I know what he means, but in today's current world, I'm curious your thoughts on why he said it and really how much teeth is there in what he said.
Yeah, not much. I mean, talking semantics there. I mean, look, there's an underlying reality that these players want to be paid. And, you know, whatever type of terminology or wording you want to use, at the end of the day, if you aren't bidding enough for a player, you're not going to get a seat at the table. Now, I do believe there's some programs, and George is one of them, where you know, they call it the Kirby discount. They call it the Kirby discount, Paul, because maybe you don't get paid quite as much as Georgia, but they've had 42 players drafted over the last 4 years, and they've got a proven system. They've got continuity on their staff. And there's a value to playing in a program where you can win a national championship every year. I think the same would hold true, or once held true, at Alabama, where a lot of players would come and play for Nick Saban. I mean, let's be honest. If you did what Coach Saban told you to do, like he told you to do it, with the same effort and focus that he demanded, you knew you were probably going to play for a national championship, right? You paint by the numbers under Nick Saban. He's a proven commodity. I think Kirby Smart in Georgia have earned that sort of trust and respect among prospects. If you come to Georgia and you paint by the numbers and you do what Kirby says and you compete against other great players, you know where you're going to end up. Whereas maybe some other programs, you say, okay, well, Brian Kelly, I don't know, Paul. Do we call him a proven commodity? I certainly think he came out of the cannon exceptionally well. But this is not his best look, and this is something that, you know, to me it seems a little silly. I mean, if you're going to compete for marquee players, finding the resources and NIL and collective money is going to be part of that equation.
It seems so, and I mean, I know it's a big headline, and again, I confess I didn't partake in the entire interview. But it seems like it is a great headline. Speaking of Georgia, there was a lot of conversation more off the air than on the air yesterday at Regions, Mike, about Carson Beck and the Lamborghini. I know this is old news, but I had one former SEC head coach who, by the way, was not named Nick Saban, who was just really going off on that. And how ridiculous is this in college football nowadays? He said to me off the air that you can keep your player for his final year by buying him a Lamborghini. I know that's not exactly how it went down, but that certainly was one of the narratives I picked up.
Well, you know, depending on what report you believe, you know, Carson's package, if you will, was worth in the neighborhood of $4 million. And where did that come from? You might say, well, where that's such an abstract number. Well, it's really not. If you're Carson Beck, let's just look at the numbers. Had he gone pro this year, Paul, I think he would have been picked ahead of Bo Nix. I really do. We can debate it. Some callers may not. But if he would have gone 12th or 13th in the draft, if you look at the value of that, that's what he would have gotten paid. More than that, actually. They based this number on where Will Levis was drafted last year. And they said, look, here's the value of what Carson Beck would have been. And we're looking for something similar. This is what sources have told me. There's no confirmation. There's no public information available. There's no contract. Kirby Smart and Carson Beck aren't going to stand behind a podium and tell you that a deal was hammered out, but you better bet your bottom dollar, and they certainly did, that there were some considerations, financial considerations, for Carson to return another year. He said he knew right after the SEC title game, but it took him 2 weeks to announce it. So you kind of do the math there. There's nothing wrong with it. This is reality. Getting players to come back for another year, there is a value to the player and the university, right? So Georgia was able to get Carson Beck to come back by whatever financial arrangements are out there. And therefore, a guy like Trevor Etienne wants to jump on. And a guy like Kobe Young, the receiver from Miami, and so on and so on. So that was a very big signee, to the point where Mike Bobo told a group of boosters in January that the biggest recruit Georgia had was Carson Beck. Now, as for Carson and how he spends his money, look, Georgia's playing catch-up. Texas and Bijan Robinson had a Lamborghini in place 2 years ago, but we weren't talking about it because Texas was in the Big 12, and we don't talk about the Big 12, right? That's why Texas is coming to the SEC. So this is nothing new for players to have cars. Paul, you remember, we would go to Bryant Hall back in the day. Some of those cars in the parking lot that looked pretty good, they didn't always belong to the coaches.
I do remember that. We used to walk around the parking lot all day when we could and make note of it, and it didn't all compute. And it probably wasn't all legal. Mike, before you go, the spring is over now. We're into a different phase. But, you know, you get around. You talk to people at every campus. What other than Georgia, what story was buzzing in your mind, and what stories are you watching as we make that turn toward the summertime?
Well, I'll tell you, Kalen DeBoer. I mean, the excitement at Alabama right now. And, I mean, look, I think we all, you know, oh, Nick Saban's leaving and here's the end of Alabama. And I was one of those people. I said, you know, you don't replace the greatest coach of all time. You just don't do it. There has to be imminent drop-off. But, Paul, I have stepped back since then and thought about the beginning of last year and remembered how Texas beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa by 10 points. And how Jalen Milroe looked so inefficient in that offense. It was almost like they didn't know what to do with him with that new offensive coordinator, to the point where they benched him in a game. And I said to myself, you know what? I don't think Kalen DeBoer could do any worse than that. I think he's going to have a better idea of how to use Jalen Milroe this year than the Nick Saban staff did last year. So I'm not on board with the imminent drop-off of Alabama. I've really reconsidered that. especially when I hear about all the energy. I'll tell you who else has got a lot of energy. Down there at Florida, they're feeling really good about Billy Napier. I mean, there is a lot of momentum building in Gator Nation. They're not ready to throw in the towel. I mean, we look at the schedule, and we say no way, shape, or form this guy gets through it. But Florida really believes that if they can win five of those first six games, that Billy Napier may have something going. They got that new football building, all this energy.
I wasn't laughing at your comments, Mike.
Well, Gator Nate, I mean, there's a lot of spirit down there. So I just don't think programs are ready to get buried yet. I mean, I think there's still some Auburn people, trying to convince themselves that, you know, the left-hander with the screwball out of the bullpen can find a way. I just don't know if Auburn has the talent. It'd be really interesting to see what their transfers do. But the top of my list is DeBoer in Alabama. And what I'm seeing is kind of a recharge there. And, I'm expecting really big things from Jalen Milroe this year, really big things.
There you go. Mike Griffith, always great to talk to Griff. We'll get your reaction to all of that. We're here for the next couple of hours. We'll talk more about the Brian Kelly situation. Your phone calls are around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So Jim said, Griff said quite a bit there. How much did you buy? How much was he spinning? it was just fascinating to hear him fall in love with Kalen DeBoer and, of course, Billy Napier all at the same time. Let's get to the calls, and Jim is first up.
Interesting you said, Jim said, no questions, please. Who gave Mike Griffith some smart pills? I totally agree with everything he said, and I said that myself 6 or 8 months ago, Paul. I'm telling you, the guy, anyway, that's all I got to say. Everything, who gave Mike Griffith a smart pill? He finally came out and proved he's got some sense. I buy everything he said, and I know he's right. That's all I got, Paul, but it's good.
Great to hear from you, and let's check in with Bash next. Hey, Bash, go right ahead.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call. I was thoroughly entertained, Paul, the last time you were in studio, the Rock'em Sock'em phoner feud you had on between AJ and John from St. Louis. And it got me thinking of last week when you were asking John if he had heard about Mike Tyson coming out of retirement to box a 28-year-old in a professional bout. So, Paul, here's my question to you. Do you think you can call your former agent, Nick Kahn, to add another contest to that card between myself and Jim from Tuscaloosa?
Well, I'm sure he would get, before I make the pitch, what's the sales part of it?
Well, after what he said about me Tuesday, when all I said to him was, who would want to thank God we're not Jim, because who would want to be him? And I said that as a joke to make someone who had just lost his wife 5 months ago have a little laugh. And he took that so offensive, he started attacking me and my athletic accomplishments or my existence in that way. So instead of talking about my athletic accomplishments, Paul, I would like to show him that, since all he likes to do is talk over and over. And you know what, Paul? That's why I wanted to get Nick involved, because I want us to be like, you know, a Ric Flair professional wrestling match. I'll just carry Jim throughout the match like everyone carried Ric Flair throughout his entire career. And so it can give him one last bit of glory in his athletic persona. What do you think about that?
Well, listen, I'm good. If Jim's willing, I mean, I don't want to sell it to a promoter and then not have both parties there. So I'll talk to Jim.
You're always the man, Paul. Thank you so much. And also, I apologize. Yesterday, I might have got myself kicked off the show, which gladly I'm not, because I might have been a little disrespectful to Braden Gall. But
well, hold on, since I did not hear any of the show, what happened?
Well, I didn't know too much information about Braden before my call, so I did a little quick research, and I saw that he apparently is a lifelong Nashville Predators fan.
Oh.
And you know how I feel about the Nashville Predators, Paul.
Obviously, I don't.
Oh, sorry. Remember when you were in Nashville and Nash, the mascot, came to you and gave you a jersey, and I told you, tell Nash to take that jersey and shove it up his ass.
Oh, okay. I do remember that.
That's exactly where every Predators jersey belongs. They are the most idiotic organization in the NHL, to go by the catchphrase, the gold standard. You ain't got no damn gold in your trophy case, so shut the hell up. And also, Paul, roll Damn Tide. Have a good day. And Jim, thank God I'm not him.
Let's talk to JK next. Hey, JK.
Paul, what's going on, buddy?
We are doing great.
Man, why do these people call in challenging Jim to a fist fight or a boxing match? They're much younger than he is. It wouldn't be a contest. And everybody gets in an uproar because somebody says something bad about their team. They're too sensitive to take football smack talk. I don't get it, Paul, but, you know, it's laughable. And another thing, don't you know sarcasm when you hear it, Paul?
I think I do, yeah. I mean, I kind of deal with that occasionally.
That's all Griff came with today. You know good and well he knows Napier's going to get fired after this season, because he's probably going to lose anywhere from
You know what? Unlike Jim, I didn't buy either the Napier hype, nor did I buy the Alabama hype.
Paul, Napier's going to, in my opinion, I think he's going to get fired, because I think they're going to lose at least 6 to 7 games, maybe 8. And as far as Miro, and you know I'm definitely not an Alabama fan, but Miro is probably going to have a good season. But I still see Alabama losing 2 to 3 games. And I don't think a 3-loss SEC, non-SEC champion should be in the playoffs. That's just my opinion. Whoever gets mad with it, upset, that's their problem. I'm just voicing my opinion. But those Hurricanes, once again, I'm not going for the hype. I want to see the product on the field. So all these 5 stars and number one quarterback in the portal, I ain't buying it again. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe, Paul.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Cheerleader is up next. Hey, Cheerleader, go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Paul. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
We are doing great.
That's wonderful. Well, I hadn't called in a while, but I'm just wondering, do I have to use profanity for you to take my call and keep talking to me, or can I just be Cheerleader?
I'd rather you not use profanity, Cheerleader. It would be very unbecoming of who you are.
Absolutely, and I just want some of these guys to clean it up a little bit. Just clean it up a little bit. Tell me what you've been up to. I'm on my way to have a root canal.
Well, I was I spent yesterday in Birmingham out at the golf tournament, and I came back last night, and I'm just here working.
Oh, my goodness. I missed going out there to see you. But listen, I've been missing you can't wait for Alabama football and all the football to be happening, and it's going to be here before we know it. Be here before we know it. And thank you, Paul.
Well, good luck with the root canal. That sounds like a fun way to spend a Thursday afternoon. We'll take a short break. Find out more about what happened with Brian Kelly this week. By now, you've heard probably the biggest story in college sports about Brian Kelly essentially saying, I'm not going to buy a team. Well, we'll get to the bottom of it with the person who did the interview right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
And we welcome all of you back. You've heard so much conversation this week about a conversation between Jacques Doucet and Brian Kelly. Let's listen for a second about what the controversy seems to be all about.
It hasn't fared very well, quite frankly, because, you know, we're selling something a little bit differently. And that is, we want to recruit. We want to engage, build relationships. We want to develop, retain, and have you and have success. We're not in the market of buying players.
Wow, that's what he said. A lot of reaction around college football. Jock, first of all, thank you for being here. Good afternoon. Tell us about the interview before we get to what's caused such a line of controversy.
Well, Paul, it's great to be with you. LSU is nice enough to grant us a sit-down one-on-one with Brian Kelly, typically once a year. It's always around this time in May or early June, and it was our opportunity on Tuesday to go talk to him. And I like to talk in terms of music, Paul, and oftentimes I reference an interview as kind of being an album, and you look for the hit single. Well, this was definitely the hit single out of the 25-minute interview. It was certainly the thing that, you know, we had a great conversation. I think all of it was good, but certainly when we got to that point about defensive, interior defensive linemen and so forth, and it was really just kind of a mundane question on my part. I just asked him, how are things going on the interior defensive line? And he took off and ran with it with about a 2-minute answer. So he was certainly ready to talk about it.
I always worry, Jock, when people like me talk about subjects like that, that maybe we don't have the whole context. You were there. So can you, give us your reaction when he said it and what else he said that either complimented or didn't?
Well, he's not saying that college football players at LSU aren't going to get paid and he doesn't want to pay them. That is totally incorrect. I think it's more along the lines of a complete stranger walking through your door making over $1 million a year when you've got guys who are now on your team for the third year who have proven themselves and are good players and are good people and they don't get in trouble off the field making a third of that. I think that that's where it really throws things out of whack when it comes to team chemistry and your locker room. I think other guys like Jaden Daniels, for example, came to LSU, had a really good first year, and then was able to get NIL deals on his own with Powerade or whoever it would be. And so, yes, I mean, people that come to LSU are going to earn money through NIL and so forth. He's not saying we're not going to pay players. I think basically You know, it's like anything else. It's market value. Okay, you're willing to pay that. Okay, you can pay that, but we're not. I think the problem with LSU right now is that when it comes to their football team, they are in the biggest bind at that spot. There are a lot of reasons, I guess, for that. But if LSU had to play USC today, I don't know how many LSU fans would feel great about, you know, lining up and stopping the run or getting some pressure on the passer with who they have in the trenches.
Jock, is there a specific reason, based on the question, why he said that at that particular moment? Is there something he was referring to, or was that just how he feels in general?
Well, you know, the previous head coach who I enjoyed covering, Ed Ogeron, his slogan was block out the noise, and I think a lot of people over there still say that, so to speak. But I definitely think that, you know, they've heard all the talk about we don't have defensive linemen and where are they. I mean, this goes back to, I guess, mid-January when both Mekhi Wingo and Mason Smith both decided to go pro. I think LSU had hopes of both of those guys coming back. So they go 0-2 there, and you can see April the 15th down the tunnel. You know that's when the portal is going to reopen, and it feels like you should have your ducks in a row and your plan and your NIL and all that ready to go out and get some guys. And so far they have gotten a defensive lineman from Wisconsin, but the other targets they've missed on. So I think he's probably been hearing about what's your deal, why can't you land these guys, and maybe there was some sensitivity, and maybe, I don't know, hurt feelings is the right way to describe it, but a bit defensive and ready to describe maybe why to the fan base. Like, yeah, I care about winning. I care about getting the right amount of players, but I'm not going to compromise my principles to the extent of doing so.
I mean, you're a very highly skilled professional. You've done this many, many times with many important people like him. When he said that, I'm curious what was going through your mind. Other than like saying, Coach, can we end it right here? You just gave me the story of the week.
Well, there are other people out there that I think I gave a few million views to on their own platforms. Not bragging, but just the opportunity and what the guy said. But you know, Darren DeQuano, my videographer, who does such a great job with me. I mean, when we walked out of there and we were talking about, you know, what was good and what was the best stuff, and I said, man, that defensive line, NIL, transfer portal talk, that was something, huh? And he's like, yeah, that was really good. You know, I mean, and it wasn't like a leading question or anything. So I certainly knew that at that point that when that got out, that was going to, you know, make some pretty significant news, especially for people who love college football. We're in the heat of college baseball season and college softball, which is great stuff. But for those who, you know, cover football, college football, and looking for that stuff year-round, it was a big red piece of meat to them that I think a lot of people have been talking about. And quite frankly, you know, when you put something out, you don't want to sensationalize something. You want to have a nice quote that'll get people's attention, and then they click and read and get the whole context of what he said, which is about a 3.5-minute answer from what I understand. Some people don't read articles or listen. I understand sometimes they just read a headline or they get a quick bite and they don't understand the whole context of what the person was saying.
Jock, crazy question here, but what is your reaction to the reaction to what you did with Brian Kelly?
Paul, I think I see it every day on WAFB stories or whatnot. People read a headline and they automatically just dive in. They make some big comment, and that's no different here. I think some people are saying, well, why aren't you paying players? Everyone else is paying players. I mean, Matt Moscona, who's come on your show many times, a friend of mine here in the market, I talked to him yesterday, and he said, yeah, they invested $4 million into the football team last year off the collective, and that doesn't include, you know, your Gordon McKernan's here in town, the big powerhouse attorney, your Todd Gray's and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, your walk-ons. You know, they're all putting up a significant amount of money in the NIL space for football players as well. So I think that some people just read that and think that, you know, they expect LSU football players to play for free and all that. I do think, Paul, you know, we take LSU football way too seriously here. We love it way too much. We plan our lives around it. I do think there's that old school fan who views it like Rudy, the movie, right? I would do anything to run out of that Tiger Stadium tunnel. It's a dream of mine to play on Saturday nights. And some fans say that think that those guys that get a scholarship, they get You know, their books paid for, their meals paid for, and they have great opportunities after they leave LSU, and that's enough. But that's a kind of an old school mentality. I think more and these coaches, you could say, yeah, coaches get paid millions of dollars. Well, ask the coach what how much he got paid his first job out of college and ask him how long it took to move up the ladder and, you know, be a paid professional and make millions of dollars. It took a long time and a lot of hard work improving yourself. So I think that that is kind of a slippery slope now where teenagers are coming in and demanding all sorts of money when they haven't proven themselves, quite frankly, especially out of high school. So I think the changes are good to an extent. If Joe Burrow sells a bunch of jerseys, he should get that money, or Tyrann Mathieu or Leonard Fournette or whoever it is. But there's some other aspects of this NIL and so forth that are coming across as extortion, and I think a lot of fans can see that.
Jock, clearly, I don't think Brian Kelly was trying to make any more of a statement than he was responding to your answer, but what has been the local reaction? You're a prominent sportscaster down there. You talk to people. You hear from people. Other than the overreaction from people who have nothing better to do on talk shows like this, what about the locals?
Well, it was just I was the one sitting there and asked the question. It could have been anybody else, but, I mean, it seemed like I listen to our local sports talk every day. We're all friends. We all know each other. I think it led off every show, and I think it was – there was a lot of reaction, so a lot of people are talking about it. You know, I think people will bring up, like I said, well, Brian Kelly makes $10.5 million a year. Easy for him to say that. He left Notre Dame for a lot more money or this or that. I mean, I think overall, if LSU goes out there and USC is gashing on the run, you know, Paul, it's too late. There's nothing you can do. I mean, that's going to be the topic all year, post-game, pre-game. You can't get players once you've kicked off the season. So I think there is a right to be concerned right now when, you know, you got Jacoby and Guillory coming back. He's your biggest veteran player. He's had some nice things here and there. And then everybody else really hasn't done anything to an extent. You got some younger players and whatnot. So I think there's a lot of concern and worry at that spot. So that's the local. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, Paul, LSU has had a different defensive line coach every year, I believe, since 2020. And so there hasn't been a clear message. The position coaches changed every year. That has not helped in recruiting. Jimmy Lindsay, the defensive line coach last year, had a major medical issue. He didn't really have a chance to coach, quite frankly, and he's out. So that's hurt them in that space as well. So there's a lot of things that have added up to this problem that, you know, you could say, well, you know, you shouldn't be in this pickle to begin with. But that's where they are. And I think that's the local reaction is we need defensive linemen, and we haven't gotten them out of the portal right now.
Jock Doucet with the interview heard around the college football world. Many, many thanks, Jock. We'll talk soon. We appreciate it. We'll get some reaction to what Brian Kelly had to say now that you have a little more context when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, so now that you have some context on Brian Kelly, I mean, that has been the story of a fairly dull week in the college football platform. What exactly was he saying? Was he being defensive because his defense has been so bad and maybe he has not been able to replace it, or is that how he really feels? Did he confuse LSU with where he used to be at Notre Dame? What exactly was he saying there? I'm really curious what your reaction has been. Steve in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Listen, I'm going to make this real quick for you. I'm going to come after two fan bases, LSU and my Miami Hurricanes. And just to preface this, I'm not one of those crazy Miami Hurricane fans that think it's 2001 and Santana Moss is jutting out of the sidelines. Okay, they're all fanatical. But I'm gonna tell you, what really happened with Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's mad because Miami Mario Cristobal all of a sudden has all his cash and he just beat out Brian Kelly on the recruiting trail for the recruiting cycle. Miami has the number one defensive class in the nation. And then also just now last week for a guy named Barrow. So that's why Brian Kelly's mad, because it's true. Miami's doing what Georgia and Alabama have been doing for years down in Miami, is giving all those kids in Miami bags of cash, giving grandma bags of cash at Burger King, giving them a loaner card, things that we know as Miami Hurricane fans what goes on, because we see it, we hear it. But Miami's doing it now. But again, that's why Brian Kelly's upset about it. But I'll tell you what, I don't know why he's scared about Mario Cristobal. Miami Hurricane's going to be 7-5 until I'm about 100 years old, and I'm 47. They're terrible coach because Mario is not a good coach. He could put together a team. He could buy an all-star team. But he'll still find a way to ruin it. So if I was Brian Kelly, I'd be just as fine getting a 2- or 3-star from Shreveport than any guy that Mario's looking after and just pay him whatever. I don't know, I wouldn't be sweating Miami in the least. But that's exactly what Brian Kelly's doing. And I'm out. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's check in with Rick in Houston.
Hey, Paul. So as an LSU fan, here's what I think Brian Kelly was saying. I think that without naming names, he was specifically talking about Demonic Williams and Ann Barrow that went to Miami. Now, there's enough where there's smoke, there's usually fire, and the word that everyone's hearing is that Williams came in and wanted $1+ million, and the word is he got like 1.2 from Oklahoma. And I think that's exactly what Brian Kelly's saying is, look, man, you know, we're not going to pay you that much money. You're going to have opportunities at LSU to make a lot of money. I mean, let's face it. LSU's got one of the best NIL programs in the nation. I mean, you look across all the sports, Libby Dunn, Angel Reese, Blaje Johnson, you know, Paul Skeens, Dylan Cruz, all those people made good money at LSU through NIL. LSU isn't broke. It's just that he's not going to pay that much money.
So hold on. So essentially, you're defending him, saying that he won't pay while others will. I mean, is that the excuse for?
It sounds like
an excuse to me.
I'm not saying that LSU won't pay players. The players are getting paid.
It seems to me you're splitting hairs, I don't know. I mean, I heard Jock said it pretty clearly. I mean, it sounds very much like Brian Kelly was upset because he lost a player because he wouldn't pay, and he's trying to alibi to a fan base that watches every recruit because they know how desperate LSU is for that position.
Well, Paul, that's not how I feel, but I really, truly believe, Paul, that in this specific instance, he was basically talking about one particular player.
Okay. Well, but that's not exactly what he said, though.
I understand that, Paul, but you know, do you think that he would just come out?
He said we're not in the market of buying players at a time when that's exactly what everyone else is in the market of doing.
Okay, let me ask you this, Paul.
Okay.
Do you think that one player for 1 year is worth $1.2 million?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
When your defense was as bad as his, and if you had had the right player or you know, a couple of players, and considering you just lost a couple of key ones. That one player or two players, I'm expanding it, can be very well be the difference in making the playoffs and not. You think one player could have made a difference in the Ole Miss game last year?
I'm gonna cordially disagree with you.
By the way, if Brian Kelly hadn't screwed up the defense so much at the beginning of the season, this may not have been an issue.
if Brian Kelly hadn't hired Matt House 2 years ago, it might not be an issue.
Yeah, but listen, some of it's his own fault.
Yeah, well, and some of the fault falls back on Ed O and Bo Pelini as well. So let's not forget those two guys.
I think we're getting in college football today, blaming somebody from 3 or 4 years ago is a little bit ridiculous.
Well, that may be true, but
Ed Orgeron did not hire Matt House. We know who did.
Oh yeah, we do know who hired Matt House. That's exactly right.
Is that it, Rick?
Yeah, that's it, Paul.
Okay, I mean, that sounded like a very perturbed LSU fan at the end there. By the way, everybody knows how I feel about Brian Kelly. I take more flack for Brian Kelly than any coach in the SEC because we really like him and we really appreciate him coming on here. However, don't blame Bo Pelini and Ed Orgeron for your defense. I mean, and by the way, I'm not the one who said. We're not in the business of buying players. I mean, did that not come off a little high and mighty? I'm just asking the question. I'm still trying to put it all together. I've heard what Jacques Doucet had to say. I thought he made a very comprehensive explanation. That's why we had him on. We don't just run with headlines here. We try to put a little context to it. A couple more hours to go. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.